In firefighting and public safety, reliability is key. For over 20 years, the Firestore has equipped first responders with trusted gear featuring brands like MSA Cairns for helmets and Seek for thermal imaging cameras. Stay prepared. Visit thefirestore.com today. The Firestore, your trusted safety partner.
This podcast is brought to you by Flex 7 from Tenkata Protective Fabrics. Flexible, comfortable, and powered with the strength of Enforce technology. Flex 7 outer shell fabric is made to move. To learn more, visit TenkataFabrics.com/Flex7.
Breathing in diesel exhaust fumes is like walking into a fire without a mask. Over time, those toxins lead to cancer. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip, the easiest, most reliable exhaust removal system that features a true 100% seal to eliminate diesel exhaust fumes. To get free grant assistance, visit MagnaGrip.com.
Welcome to Tailboard Talk
with Chris Rasmussen,
Craig Nelson, and Jeff Wallen. Every month we explore different topics of interest to you, our cohorts in fire and emergency services. So whether you sit back and listen, sound off on the message board, or call in live to be part of the conversation, we welcome you to join us in our mission to improve the fire service for those we serve and those we serve beside. Now coming to you live from the Great White North, this is Tailboard Talk on Fire Engineering Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome to Tailboard Talk for Friday, December 20th, 2024. This is Jeff.
This is Craig.
And Chris.
And it falls, the duty falls on me to let everybody know that we are back in the Great White North again here in rural Minnesota, North Dakota, out here in the Fargo area. We've got snow, we got cold, we got everything, and I'm waiting for spring.
Oh. It's not even Christmas, Jeff. We got some.
Oh, no. I didn't realize that.
Spring, you mean May?
This is not good.
Maybe Jeff hibernates.
We could only. No, I'm not going to say nothing.
I've been accused of similar on the job behavior.
Years of training.
Mentally, programmatically.
Definitely getting a little colder out. More snow than we had last year, of course, but last year was super nice.
Yeah, it's weird that one snow event can give us more snow than we had the entire previous season.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting weather here on the plains where every year is different.
It's typical. I'm sure we see it nationwide. It's in between seasons, right? So it's hot, 40 degrees one day, and then it's 20 degrees and freezing rain and or whatever, and makes it difficult obviously for everybody that's out there, and then for our operations also causes some issues. But we've talked hundreds of times about how to firefight in the cold. We're not going to talk about that
again. At least a few of them on the air.
It's usually
come again.
It's usually our go-to besides hiring practices.
Oh, sure. Promotional practices.
Talk about that 8 months of the year.
Yeah.
Yep. So what else is going on? What's been going on in your department, Jeff?
Well, we've been putting on an addition at our station to, I'd like to say we're trying to follow the more healthy maneuvers of creating hot, warm, and cold zones in your fire stations, that we're keeping contaminants at bay. And that is something that we are doing, but it's kind of a side effect. There was a big street project in front of our fire department to create an underpass under some railroad tracks that has caused us to have to flip our vehicle placement and response 180 degrees in the station. So we got to come out the back doors now, and we can't go out the front doors because they're building an underpass literally right in front of the fire station. At the height of the construction in the summer, it kind of felt like you were running out of a fire station in the median of a freeway while they were building the freeway, is what it felt like. We had one point in time where we moved crews, our admin folks, out of the building to just keep a skeleton crew at the station. And at one point in time, the city also had projects to redo the city streets around the fire station at the same time. So at one point in time, we literally had one way in and one way out to the fire station, and things were torn up all the way around on three sides on the street. So we had guys parking right in front of the bedroom windows on the grass, because that's the only place we had left for folks to be. And there were national contractors that were out tearing everything apart and pile driving huge steel walls that they were erecting to be able to put in all of the pilings for the bridges and for the retaining walls and stuff, that created a whole lot of interesting challenges for us and things that we're not used to dealing with on an extended period of time. So we'll go out on calls and go to some of the craziest stuff. But when that crazy stuff is happening next to you at the building, and it's happening over and over again, day after day, continuously, like we can go to a heavy construction site, put on hearing protection and deal with that incident and leave. But what if the construction site is literally 43 feet away from your bay door and it's noisy and there's pounding going on and you have to, it's a hard hat zone and there's huge cranes moving things around and semis moving in and out. So as of late, that's all mostly come to an end, that our addition is there. We're about ready to move into it and do our response out of the other side of the station and take a little bit longer to get in route. But the underpass work is still about a year and a half away from being complete.
So when are you looking at the station part being done?
So we're essentially complete right now. There's touch-ups going on with this thing didn't get painted right and those little tweaks that are happening, and that will be mostly complete tomorrow. But with this underpass project, we were redesigning what used to be the front side of the station to be the back side with a service driveway for smaller vehicles and some extra parking spaces. And that stuff can't get done until the underpass is further along. So now the project's extended out into another construction season.
Sure.
So we're essentially about ready to take occupancy of it. But it's interesting to have your gear in a separate space and have it be clean and relatively pretty. It's the littlest things. People have taken a lot of joy in the steam showers. We've got two shower stalls with steam shower heads so that after you get back from a fire, you can get in there and try to push those contaminants out of your system, get them out of the pores. And that's the very first thing that people wanted to get involved with when the station reopened. They were clamoring to get in there before the work was done to be able to use it after incidents, and not just for the wow factor of it's a pretty shower, but because they're actually concerned about, yeah, I think this is going to do a better job of me not getting cancer 15, 20 years from now, and keeping the gear out of the space where all the apparatus exhaust is still operating day after day. So there was two things that they were enamored by. That's the first one. And the second one was the stainless steel sprayer head that we've got on the new decon rack line with the sinks, like you've got at a big commercial kitchen.
Oh.
The dumbest thing, our station was built in 1971, and we've got just regular, you know, consumer grade appliances, sinks, that kind of stuff in most of the station. But we remodeled bathrooms a couple of years ago to be gender free and neutral and more industrial. And it's a weird thing to go from a more residential design to industrial designs that at first seem cold, but then you find out are really functional for what we do when people are coming and going between different shifts and different crews, and that you can get things clean, keep them clean because of the types of surfaces that you're selecting that we weren't thinking of back in the 70s. And right. When we've done our own crew-based remodels in the 80s and 90s, you know what I'm talking about? The chief can find some money for stuff, but we can't find money to hire labor to come in and redo it. So we redo our own stuff. It's kind of common in the fire service, or at least it has been in the past, becoming increasingly less so as you need skilled trades to do that kind of stuff. And as a lot of the new people coming on board don't necessarily have the same skill sets, and it's not being transferred from one generation to another.
So I'm familiar with your station. In fact, I think there's a picture of me when that station opened with my grandpa there. So
oh, yeah,
I was pretty tiny at that time. So I remember that. I mean, I'm familiar with that station.
Yeah.
How did you operate with the cold, warm, and hot zones? Because I know how it's kind of laid out. So you have an app floor, obviously, just like every other station, right next to the living quarters.
Yeah.
And you added something on the other end of the the bay.
Yep. So if you picture the apparatus bay as a drive-through type bay, and off to one side, to the left, or living quarters, so to speak, we added on to the right side, which doesn't exactly create a traditional hot, warm, cold zone, because we didn't have the space to do it.
Right.
You'd have to tear off living quarters to do that. Right. But as a compromise, if we're coming back from a fire, we're cleaning up all of our equipment, and we've got decon showers over there, we've got small storage lockers for everybody so you can have a change of clothes, just, you know, sweats and a t-shirt, socks or sandals or something like that. So you can get back over to the truly cold side and get into regular clothes again. And it's not ideal if you're designing the pass-through, but really if we're deconning our stuff mostly first to get equipment back in service, and then people are taking their turns in the showers and stuff with just a little bit of coordination, you can keep yourself pretty clean going from one side to the other. And the previous alternative was just a standard shower down in our living quarters. So you'd have to walk into the living quarters to get to the showers. And so even though it's not the best 100% pass through, it's a huge improvement over what we had.
Right. Putting some thought into the process itself. You know, obviously cancer is one of our major concerns in the fire service. So yeah, anytime you're remodeling or building, we start looking at that. So we had the opportunity to build a new station so we could implement, you know, cold, hot, warm, cold right away. And that makes it a little easier. I do appreciate that was one of the things I was overly concerned about when building the station was providing that safety. So I think that's a good thing. We also have another station that's opening up because we had some structural problems with it. So we had tore part of it down and remodeling it and trying to work some of those things into, but it's kind of same boat you were in a little bit. Not a lot of space, not a lot of room. So,
Well, it's interesting to look at a lot of these projects take years. And so if you're not really watching, it's kind of stuff that moves so slow and happens so slow. Yeah. It doesn't seem like there's much happening. It doesn't seem like there's change going on. And it's one of those things where a lot of this is planned out years in advance. This is what we're going to do. Then we're going to do this next. And a lot of these are big capital projects. So a department can't just, oh, we're going to update all our stations. It's a one at a time, year after year situation where you work on what you can as quickly as you can. And sometimes it's even picking away at the little things first. And one of the other things that we've done, because we are working on our stations one by one to update them, update the bathrooms, update the hot, warm, cold, that kind of stuff, but also moving away from carpet and cloth materials. So cloth in the recliners, carpet on the floors, and that's kind of a post-COVID change that, well, it's a lot easier. Like Jeff said, years ago that was thought of, well, it's cold and industrial. And now we look at it and we go, it's a lot easier to keep clean and to take care of. Right. So that's the direction it's going.
Disinfecting floors, disinfecting tables, chairs, those things.
Yeah, it's easy to do that. And you start to think, I'm on carpet now after being on carpet in a place that wasn't so clean. Right. You know, and sometimes you're wondering what you're bringing back into the truck, what you're bringing back into the station, what you're having secondary touches while you're making food, while you're leaning back in the recliner and, you know, knuckle dragging on the carpet while you're watching something on TV. It's the little things like that where you go, gosh, we could actually be bringing stuff back home or contaminating ourselves from environments that we've been in, even, you know, coming back from a commercial plant in a call and a medical, but you might be tracking some stuff back from there. Maybe bringing some, you know, some corrosives back with you that can cause some issues and other things like that.
I mean, we've all been in the fire service about the same amount of time. And, I remember we did things differently 30 years ago.
I know it's like, how much of that can we talk about?
Yeah. I don't know if I want to talk a lot, but, if the heart lung bill people are watching, please delete. But, I mean, you used to come home and you'd blow soot out of your nose and, you know, we had one set of bunker gear you wore all day, fire or not. And, you know, now we've, at least our departments, and I hope people across the country are starting to, you know, get two sets of bunker gear and gear washers. And it's not as cool to have the burnt up helmet anymore. You know, it's keep your stuff clean. And I know a lot of people out there could shake their head at that, but it's true. You don't want to bring those contaminants back to you. You know, we want you to, we want you and I want myself to milk the pension as long as possible, you know, kind of thing. And, have a good life after, serving the citizens. So it's a good idea to have those things, you know, I mean, so we've come a long ways and I don't want to jump on you, Craig, but, hot, warm, cold stations, bunker gear, you know, mask. We used to share masks when I first started, you know, with they just hung in the seat. Those kind of things, you know, and we've realized over time. So
I've enjoyed seeing the changes to the point where a lot of our personnel now don't know what that world was.
Right.
And I think a lot of fire departments, if not most, are seeing those changes. I know we are obviously not the first ones to do hot, warm, and cold zones in a station. Many, many stations have that, and they've been doing this for years already. But it's fun to start seeing people that are in the first few years of their career, and they don't know any different other than you get back to the station, you clean all your equipment, your gear, you shower, you wash your uniforms. They don't know. Right. They don't know a world
on your second set of bunker gear. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's important, you know, and I think our department's done a good job on those things. And like I say, it's kind of fun to watch. You know, we've hired, I don't know, over 100 people in the last 5 years. They don't have those memories, those ideas. Mm-hmm. And hopefully our younger captains and all of our employees are preaching, take care of it, you know? Yeah. We've all seen the backdraft where it was save your air. Well, I've heard that on fire ground, you know, save your air. So that's crazy. Crazy to think.
Yeah, to live through that transition to where now, no, you use your air. That's what it's for.
And hopefully these changes, you know, it takes time to see the results, right? So, you know, 30, 40 years from now, hopefully the results are good and these guys are living longer lives and not getting those cancers that are caused by our occupation.
Yeah. So going from a point to where when I first started 37 years ago, that after a fire, first of all, you didn't clean your gear after the fire. Mm-hmm. Occasionally, if it stunk bad enough, you might take a garden hose to it.
Right.
You know, to try to knock it down a little bit, but you certainly didn't wash it too. Then the first idea of you were actually washing turnout gear. Mm. And so we'd wash it in the washing machines.
Regular washing machine, yeah.
The same one we're using for the station towels, the truck towels, the laundry towels for the bathrooms, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but back then that was better than not. And now having separate extractors to do that. Then starting to see the videos now of some European models of taking so we're doing gross decon out on a scene now, but we don't have like a full decon path with our gear where we're seeing some European videos of specially designed bags so that like out on the incident scene after you're done, before you're clearing, before you get back into that apparatus, that they're getting out of their gear, they're bagging it so it stays contained before it comes back to the station. So there are no contaminants brought into the rig at all until it's being laundered by, you know, whatever method it's being done. I've seen
those. I think they're made by a Glad company.
Glad, yeah. Fancy European bag, huh, Jeff?
They come with their own ties and everything.
Yeah, they're totally rated for that. No leakage and that kind of stuff. But seeing some examples of where this is going and what the next level of trying to be protected for our folks would be.
Yeah. No, I think it's important that we do those, make those changes because we know, I mean, it's factual what's some of the things have caused cancers of, you know, that people have gotten from the job. So guys can act like they're all tough. We all done that in our lives, but looking back at it, I wish I wouldn't have, you know, I wish I would have had this opportunity to do it. Hopefully I didn't get hurt too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You start to wonder about that as you get older.
Yeah.
and so for those that are younger, stick to the rules that are in place now. And it's encouraging. We see a lot of young new people, young officers that they're doing a great job. They're operating safely. Yeah. They're doing things the right way. And hopefully, like you said, that'll pay off because it's not stuff you think about as much when you're young in your career. Right. And I was thinking about kind of that sick fetish of those smells and turnout gear after a fire is one of those. It's like dollar bills and gasoline and turnout gear after. I don't know why. You can sit and love. I enjoy those smells. I don't know why.
I enjoy $100 bills.
Yeah. but you walk into the station and you know they had a fire.
Yeah.
You just sit there and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't anymore.
But, no, hopefully. But yeah, you'd jump in the shower and blow your nose and be black and you could smell it 2 days later, you know, from the shower or something.
And I've noticed now when they have a fire, you don't always smell it anymore in the station. So that, I mean, it just shows how good a job they're doing cleaning everything up right away.
Yeah. And not even bringing it into the building, not even into the apparatus bay. And if so, things getting totally washed down and cleaned up.
Yeah.
And not just hitting it with a garden hose, but actually using cleaners on our things and our surfaces to say, I don't want just the black stuff to be gone. I want it to be clean so we're not transmitting anything.
It does take time, right? So we have 8 stations. You know, you replace one every decade maybe or so, you know, how it seems to go. $10 million, whatever, you know, the cost. You added a bay, Jeff. Did you remodel the station living quarters itself too?
Not the living quarters. We had upgraded the bathrooms a couple of years ago. And like you were talking about, that was a 2-year process for us. And you say, well, it doesn't take that long to redo it. Well, it does take that long to plan it though, because we went through several different design revisions to try to squeeze in two good, fully functional operating bathrooms for multi-genders,
right?
In the space that had been set up for group showers. We only had 2 shower heads in there, but 2 bathroom stalls, urinal, 4 sinks. I mean, it was meant to be a group, everybody getting ready in the morning type place. But you also have to have like the designs and estimates of costs done before you can formulate the budget, and you have to have the budget done 4 to 5 months ahead of the year that you want to do the work if you have hopes of getting that money. And so that's where these things turn into a small thing turns into a 2-year project, because you don't have that kind of money laying around and it takes time to develop. But doing tear outs and renovations and redoing, and then finding problems with the plumbing lines and with the drains while you're in an old station and figuring out what you have to redo. Cause our bathroom project turned into having to completely redo the waste lines all the way out to the street.
Yep.
Because they're partially collapsed in one area, had tree roots in another section of it. And the things like that come up in these projects as well, too. So anyways, the living quarters have not been redone yet. And we had some money for a light remodel in next year's budget and ran into a little budget issue kind of citywide where we had to tighten our belts for just 12 months to get over a little financial hiccup. So maybe in 2026. But just so you know, admin is getting their side redone. So the important
part. Of course. surprise.
Yeah, that's the reason for the whole project.
Yeah.
Well, that would be carpets and paint. But when I moved over there on that side 20 years ago, it's the same carpet, because we used to have a whole different city division in there. And the lines are still there on the carpet from like rows of file lockers that used to be on the wall. And our fire station side is the carpet, I think, has gotten replaced twice since then. So I don't feel too bad about our project surviving a little bit, and everything else is still good. We're just talking about, now that we've done these other things, are there things we could do to help improve the workflow? And the darndest thing is the kitchen's very functional, but it's only got room for one fridge.
Sure. Yeah.
And do we want 3 fridges in the worst way to get built into the space somehow, but it's just not laid out for that, you know, and block walls and outlets are where they are and workflow is what it is. If we destroy an office, we could find space for fridges, but you really need that.
You need space. Yeah.
Yeah.
Need those spaces. Yeah. And I've never been in a building that's being remodeled at the same time. You know, we remodeled our headquarters station. We moved out of that station for a short time. Station 5 is being remodeled. They moved out of it for a short time. They're going to be out for a short time. Station 8, Station 6, they were all brand new builds. So we weren't around there. So do you have any difficulties? You know, besides the pounding pylons outside your window all day, but
there's a couple of difficulties we can speak to, and most of them we were aware of what they were going to be, and we talked about them as supervisors, and I hope and presume we talked about them with the staff as well to a certain degree. But till you're in the middle of it, you don't really have a sense for what it's going to be like, right? It's like the first fire. Until you actually get into it, you don't know what it's going to be like. Let me back up to that bathroom remodel project we had. Fully working standard bathrooms in our administrative annex that was connected to the fire station. So just some offices in a ring with bathrooms in the middle, but no shower facilities then.
Sure.
While we were remodeling the bathrooms, because all that plumbing had to get discontinued. So we built a temporary shower enclosure and stuff out of wood, you know, wood walls and plumbing off the garden hoses, hot and cold and that kind of stuff. And theoretically, functionally, it worked and could drain into a drain that would drain safely. But we had so many problems with that not working right, with it being in the way, with it not being as watertight as we thought it was going to be. And it was just meant to be temporary. But just the insecurity of not having a shower after a particular type of call.
Or
just the convenience of going into the workout space, getting sweaty and being able to take a decent shower before you're finishing the rest of your shift, that the makeshift seems okay, but it's a lot more stressful for the whole group than you think. Right. And then in this case where we were operating out of a station, we were remodeling, we had the added benefit of that big street project going on. And when you're doing an underpass, it's like a major highway project. It doesn't feel like a city street anymore. Wind and dust infiltration everywhere that we didn't really, I don't think we really thought about that. And I know that because when we went to put our cascade system back in service to refill bottles that we had had out on the apparatus floor, and then we had to discontinue for just a little while and then move it back in, dust got everywhere in that machine. It didn't affect, according to our service technician, any of the important components, because air was being drawn in from an outside tube, and that outside tube was still there in the environment, but there were filters built in that would cut that out. And if they got clogged with sand, it would shut the machine down to say it's not working. But even just the perception of this dirty machine that's filling your air bottles, you know, even if technically all the right things are protected, it's still psychologically doesn't leave you feeling confident about the air that's getting put in your bottles and being put back on the truck. And that's the reality of it. So I think we're now finally comfortable. It's been in the space. The space is clean. The service technician has come out and fully serviced the machine. Sure. We've had the air sampling testing done. Everything's coming back positive, you know, clear, like they said it would. But there was a period of time with that. We had moisture infiltration down into our basement where we had a workout space because the roofs were being worked on and all of the concrete was pulled away from the buildings. And that keeps a lot of water out, believe it or not. Right. Water found its way down into foundation areas in places it hadn't found before. And so every rain, we had water coming in through the ceilings in places and through the basement foundations in places where all this work was being done that we weren't really prepared for. The fact that you need to leave, you'd like to close the doors to keep the noise out, but you have to keep the doors open because you've got block layers that are coming and going through the space. Because in our case, when I said we had three sides of the road closed, the only way in and out was the same way that the fire trucks were taking to go in and out. And we had to leave those doors open so that the contractors could go in and out with their materials and supplies to be building the walls they were building in the addition. And so you couldn't even close off the station to isolate yourself from the noise of the street project because our project needed to have doors open and stuff. Security was an issue in the evenings at times, worried about people being able to get in and get to your stuff. Security issues with vehicles being in weird places and not necessarily locked up right next to the building were things that were really stressful for our staff. And we thought we'd have to park a couple blocks away and walk into the site. If you're doing a 24-hour shift, that's theoretically okay, but your stuff's sitting like two blocks away where you can't see it. Even if you don't have windows out to that side of your building, it doesn't feel the same, right? I've
never been a fan of that.
Being away from your car, So we did, when I said we were parking on the grass in front of our dorm rooms and stuff, we made the choice to say, everything's going to get wrecked anyways outside. To heck with the lawn. We're going to redo everything in the spring when it's done. We need the vehicles up close to the building so like the people that are working can focus on the job and not, I hope my stuff in the car is safe. Right. And you can't just say, leave your stuff at home.
Right.
You know, you can say that, but it doesn't always work that way. And so it took things like that to try to give enough job security in the midst of everything else that was going on, because noise that you couldn't plan for, work hours that went from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., not knowing when the loud stuff is going to happen because their schedules are weather dependent and task specific on that. So you also didn't have a roadmap to go off of. And for as unscripted as our days are as firefighters, they're a lot more planned than, I don't know, why is this semi backing up to the door now with these big things of concrete? Where is that going now? we have to get out through this path. How come they're here? What's going on? And having to feel like you need to be vigilant and be on the watch for that.
Sure.
All the time also added stress to all of our folks to say, I can't just be here and wait for the call. I've got to have my head on a swivel to make sure we can get to the next call if we have that.
Well, those are good points you brought up, because I wouldn't have thought of a few of them, you know, trial by error, obviously. And so hopefully people are listening. They can, maybe if they're doing some station stuff, they can plan those things that you had some problems with and at least know what's coming, you know, and have a plan D. Or whatever, you know, so good. Yeah. It's never fun to be in a construction zone. You know, even at our station now, we have a big project going on across the street. It's like, it's getting old already sitting here listening to it and seeing it, but it hasn't interrupted us, you know, operational wise, but
I'm kind of curious how many other departments around the country also had a lot of growth and construction going on in the 60s. Right. That's kind of where we have quite a few city buildings, fire stations included, mm-hmm. that were built in the 60s, and they're exceeding their lifespan now. Right. So it's, mm-hmm. we're hitting that point where they have to be replaced. They function very, very well for 60 years.
Right.
But now we have to start replacing them. And I think I'm guessing a lot of other departments are in that same boat. And as we're encountering that, we're encountering more and more where we're pulling crews out of the station because it either needs to be rebuilt or there's construction going on, moving crews around, putting them in alternate locations, putting them, combining crews in stations that exist, that kind of stuff. You're looking out for these alternative solutions to try and maintain that level of service through these construction projects so that your response times aren't driven through the roof, that you still have pretty good coverage in an area where that station is under construction.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it's like the chief said, we moved to a kind of a crappy place when we moved out, a city owned building kind of thing. And he's like, well, just think of all the great stories you're going to have. And I'm like, I got enough stories. I don't need any more stories. But when you look at it, you know, I've been around, this is my 31st year now, and five of those stations were there when I started. You know, we're now up to eight, but five of them were there. They're coming to the end of their lifetime, you know, because mm-hmm. we just built station eight, and the plan was, you know, handle a whatever type four tornado and or the weather event and a 50-year building. Well, these other buildings are long or much older than 50 years.
Yeah.
And they go through remodels, and we've all seen it, you know, and you can plan for the future as best you can. But all of a sudden, you know, when I started, we didn't have exhaust systems on the trucks. So all of a sudden now we're putting in exhaust systems. So you got to retrofit those to the stations. You want to add more people. You have different genders, you know, more often than those kind of situations. We used to have dorm rooms. Now we have individual rooms in all the stations. A lot of changes. So you're, you know, even over the 50 years, you're retrofitting these fire stations to meet the current needs. Hopefully future needs.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I know. I was on the planning for Station 8. I don't know if I thought much about the future. I was like, let's just get this thing done. Make it look nice. Well, good.
Yeah.
Anything else going on recently?
There was recently a police fire hockey game in our area. First annual. I believe it'll become an annual. Yeah. First time this has been done. I know they've been doing stuff like that in New York for many, many years.
Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago, mm-hmm. Et cetera. And it was really, really a fun event.
Yeah, we're a metro area of about 250,000 or so, yeah. I think. And so I kept drawing visions back to the police fire hockey games that were, what was that TV show with... Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a little over the top maybe at times, but trying to get the personality, you know, some of the cultural things that you don't necessarily see when we're responding to calls. But, you know, I had thoughts of that. Now, we didn't have a single fight break out between police or fire.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no name calling.
Not even between fire and fire?
A couple times. There was a little frustration here and there, but no fights.
No, I can think of a couple checks that weren't taken very well, and they might be remembered into the second annual police fire where we start to go down that path.
Yeah,
just give it a couple of years. It'll be right where we want it. But that's good. Yeah, it's a good fundraiser. It's for Hometown Heroes.
Yeah, so Hometown Heroes is a grant program that we have in our area that goes to local law enforcement, fire, and EMS agencies. And all the proceeds of this went to providing funding for that grant or to add to the funding for it. It's so they sold tickets for $5 for adults. Kids get in free. Oh. And then they were selling beers for $5. And I believe a lot of that was donated. So all of the funds,
goes
directly to the grants for Hometown Heroes.
That's good. And you got to give credit to our local union guys that on the police and fire that put this together.
Putting all that stuff together. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of logistics to go on there and get it.
It's not just a hockey game, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it was a joint fire team and a joint law enforcement team. So you had people from multiple agencies, both career and volunteer, I think, on the fire side.
A couple, maybe.
A little bit. Sheriffs and police officers on the other side. And
I don't know if anybody had any ringers from allied police or fire agencies outside of the Fargo-Moorhead area exactly necessarily. But I do know that fun was had by all, both by the really organized, well skating members of the teams and by those who were really trying hard, shall we say it. I loved all of that. And I think from the people that I was seeing in the room, and I also saw several of our EMS partners that work for the ambulance service in the area that were there just supporting, you know, public safety and the things that we start to find ourselves at. But it just draws and underscores that there are events like this that we can organize, that we can use to spend time together
raise some money,
raise some money, do good cause, have good family night outs for people. Right. And, really emphasize the fact that, like, for both police and fire, like, these are the best jobs in the world.
Yeah.
In service to others, working with comrades who are also in service to others, that there are times that we can get, you know, negative about staffing level issues or negative about the equipment or gall darn 50-year station that's going on year 72 now, and we keep fighting for funding for that. But if we let those little things go, keep working on them, don't let them go and let them drop and don't do the work. But if you keep focusing on why we got into the job in the first place and what makes these careers the best jobs in the world, that it can really beat a lot of that negativity that you might get into around the coffee table. Yeah. You know, back to where it belongs, you know, back on the edges, make sure people are still trying to work the problems, but gosh, don't dwell on them all day long, because you'll miss the best parts of the job from doing that. And hockey games, organized events like this, I think there's a police fire basketball game at one of the colleges that they're trying to get people signed up for now in January or February. But
nice.
these little things right here really help bring that joy into the service, keep the joy there, and keep you focused on what it means to be in public service and to have a team you're working with.
Yeah. And the camaraderie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously our union does a lot of great things. Ring the Bells coming up, Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be out on the streets ringing the bells. You know, they do the MDA, you know, all those kinds of things are great for the community. So I'm going to keep it up.
Yeah.
Nice. And a couple of things that can help you get through this this blessed winter that we have that I started the show off talking about.
That's right.
So there.
Forget about it for 20 minutes.
Cold, play hockey.
$5 beers usually helps out a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
All right. Well, it's holiday season, so this is kind of our holiday episode.
Yeah.
It is.
That's what we're going to label
2024.
It.
I got some Christmas shop to do, so I got to get out of here early. We can't let the show run too long.
I'll give you my list to what I need. What I'm looking for this year, Jeff.
Yeah. Okay, Scrooge.
We're going to get Jeff some of those Glad bags.
Yeah, some of those.
Talking about.
Decon bags.
Yeah.
They used to call me a hefty guy, so I'm glad to be a Glad guy.
You know, they come in black.
Yeah. I got black ones. I got white ones. What do you need?
You get red ties, yellow ties.
Hey, Chief, looks like your head needs to be decon before we get you back to the station. Let's wrap that thing up. Get it contained.
Anyways, Everybody have a happy and safe holidays, and we'll talk at you in another month.
Happy holidays.
Right, happy holidays.
In firefighting and public safety, reliability is key. For over 20 years, the Fire Store has equipped first responders with trusted gear featuring brands like MSA Cairns for helmets and Seek for thermal imaging cameras. Stay prepared. Visit thefirestore.com today. The Fire Store, your trusted safety partner.
This podcast is brought to you by Flex 7 from Tincata Protective Fabrics. Flexible, comfortable, and powered with the strength of Enforce technology. Flex 7 outer shell fabric is made to move. To learn more, visit tincatafabrics.com/Flex 7.
Breathing in diesel exhaust fumes is like walking into a fire without a mask. Over time, those toxins lead to cancer. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip, the easiest, most reliable exhaust removal system that features a true 100% seal to eliminate diesel exhaust fumes. To get free grant assistance, visit MagnaGrip.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. And now I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.